The epistle for Passion Sunday, First Passion Sunday, is taken from St. Paul's letter to the Hebrews, chapter 9. Brethren, when Christ appeared as high priest of the good things to come, he entered once for all through the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made by hands, that is, not of this creation, nor again by virtue of blood of goats and calves, but by virtue of his own blood, into the holies, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the sprinkled ashes of a heifer sanctify the unclean unto the cleansing of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, who through the Holy Ghost offered himself unblemished unto God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And this is why he is a mediator of the new covenant, that whereas a death has taken place for redemption from the transgressions committed under the former covenant, they who have been called may receive eternal inheritance according to the promise in Christ Jesus our Lord. In the Gospel, it's taken that according to St. John chapter 8. At that time, Jesus said to the crowd of the Jews, "Which of you can convict me of sin? If I speak the truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. The reason why you do not hear is that you are not of God." The Jews therefore in answer said to him, "Are we not right in saying that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?" Jesus answered, "I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and you dishonor me. Yet I do not seek my own glory. There is one who seeks and who judges. Amen, amen, I say to you, if anyone keep my word, he will never see death." The Jews therefore said, "Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets, and thou sayest, if anyone keep my word, he will never taste death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, who is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom dost thou make thyself?" Jesus answered, "If I glorify myself, my glory is nothing. It is my Father who glorifies me, of whom you say that he is your God. And you do not know him, but I know him. And if I say that I do not know him, I shall be like unto you a liar. But I do know him, and I keep his word. Abraham, your father, rejoiced that he was to see my day. He saw it and was glad." The Jews therefore said to him, "Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Amen, amen, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." They therefore took up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out from the temple. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. So we begin Passiontide today, the most sacred season of the year. This week is simply a preparation for next week. All of Lent was a preparation for Holy Week. Now we come to a closer preparation, in order to make sure that that's the holiest week of the year for us, the week that we really begin to grow in the greatest possible manner in the love of God. And the consideration today, taken in part from Bishop Sheen and in part from Bishop Herrera, St. Augustine and St. Thomas Aquinas, on this introduction or this beginning of the Passiontide. In the epistle, we learn that Jesus Christ is going to be our Redeemer. In the Gospel, we learn that he clearly claims that he is God. Before Abraham was, I am. And this is the tetragram, the words that were forbidden to be spoken by the Jews because they were the words that God spoke to Moses. Moses said, "Who is it? When I go to the Jews, they're going to ask me, 'Who sent you?' And they will want to know the name. So who sent me?" God sent Moses to bring the Jews out of Egypt, and he said, "Tell them, I am who am, sent you." I am who am, the name of God. It is his nature. what he is. He who is sends you. And Jesus Christ says to the Pharisees and Sadducees, I've already said it many times to you that I am God. And you claim to, you still say that I am filled with the devil. And so I will tell you plainly who I am. Before Abraham was, I am who I am. And therefore they picked up stones to cast at him. They were offended, greatly offended, because Jesus Christ claimed to be God. And so a question. Why are we offended when he claims to be God? St. Thomas Aquinas tells us that Lucifer was not offended that God was God when he fell at the beginning of time. And Lucifer also did not wish to become God, because he knew that God is God and God is eternal and God, no one can become God. And Lucifer was not foolish. Yet he rejected God. He was offended by God. And he said, non serviam, I will not serve God. And yet he was not offended because God was God. When we look at the gospel today, we will find that the Pharisees are not offended that Jesus Christ claims to be God. They are offended of the consequences. St. Thomas tells us that when Lucifer was offended with God, it was because God would choose to become a man. He revealed to Lucifer and to the other angels, the trillions and trillions of angels, a number that we cannot fathom. He revealed to all of them that he was going to become a man. He was going to die for the sins of man and redeem the entire universe and give the grace even for the angels to say yes to God. Even the grace that the angels received to say yes to God and go into heaven, it came from Jesus Christ upon his cross. The angels owe their salvation, those two-thirds that went to heaven, to Jesus Christ upon his cross. This was offensive to Lucifer. How dare God become a man and die upon a cross? This is absurd. I will not accept the cross. Non serviam. What is it that offends the Pharisees? No one is an enemy of God. Ask everyone you meet in an airport. Do you hate God? Oh no, I love God. I'm a religious person. I just don't go to church. I don't pay my taxes, and I love the last 17 wives quite well. The one I'm with now I like more than the other, but then again there's my girlfriend on the side. I like her too. And I also love God. I have no problem with God. How dare you say I hate God? And the Pharisees would tell the Jewish people. In fact, they told the man born blind, who was cured by God, made man, in chapter 11 of St. John. They told him, we are going to follow God. How did you see? The man Jesus Christ made me able to see. And they say to him, you follow him, we will follow Moses, and we will follow God. We're not going to follow this foolish man. So they claim to be followers of God. What are they offended by? And what are all offended by who claim to have a problem with God? Bishop Sheen says, what they are offended by is the new bad word. The old bad word, says Bishop Sheen, they used to have four letters, but the new bad word has five. C-R-O-S-S. This is what is offensive about God. He is going to die upon a cross. And he will not only have the audacity to lower himself to manhood and die upon a cross, but he will ask, rather, he will demand every man on earth to take up our own little bitty crosses and follow him. That is unacceptable to us. It means obedience. non serviam. It means acceptance of suffering, non serviam. Modern man is offended with God. The Muslims say they're willing to accept Jesus Christ as a great prophet. They indeed believe that he was a great prophet. He was a very good man, but I won't accept that he was God, because if we accept that, we have to accept everything that he says. And one of the things that he says is that you must do my will. You must obey me in all respects. He that is not with me is against me, and whoever is with me will take up his cross and follow me. No, I won't do it. It is this that we fear. What's the reason why you miss Mass on Sunday? What's the reason why you commit so many sins? And all of us, myself included, all of us commit so many sins. Why do we commit sins? Because we are afraid of the cross. It's hard to get out of bed and come to the place where Jesus Christ is. It means taking up our cross. It's hard to be faithful to that same woman for 50 years, 60 years. Or like the couple in Michigan, married 90 years and she's still alive. It's hard to be faithful to the simple duties, saying our rosary. If it was very easy, we would have no problem with it. If it did not require sacrifice, we would have no problem with it. We would be happy to go to work every day if there just weren't rotten people there. And if it wasn't for those traffic jams and all the difficulties we run into, what do all these things equal? The things that offend us in our lives, they are the cross. This is what we cannot accept. Bishop Herrera states in his commentary on the Gospel today and on the Epistle, he says that there is a sin, a prevalent sin that is the sign of the rejection of the cross. And that is the sin of anger. We get mad all the time and we don't think very much of it. This sin is the sign of the rejection of the cross. Think of it. Every time we get angry, it's because of an inconvenience. We don't generally get angry because everything went my way today. I won the game. I got a raise at work, and I'm really upset. It doesn't generally work that way. Anger is because we rebel against the cross. And so for Bishop Sheen, a test. We are preparing in these 2 weeks to prepare for the death of Jesus Christ. He's going to die upon a cross for our sins. There will be two others that will die with him. They too will suffer. They too will die. They will even die on the same day that he dies, and they will die right next to him. One of them will be saved, the other will be damned. Both eternally. Let's meditate on our past years. Which cross are we taking up? Each of us is going to run into the cross. We already have and we will again. We will suffer in life. Two reactions to suffering, says Bishop Sheen. There is a third reaction, but that's the reaction of Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin. It is a reaction that does not apply to the rest of us. It is the reaction of the innocent. We are not innocent. We can choose between the reaction of the good thief, St. Dismas, or the reaction of the bad thief who went to hell for eternity. We will suffer regardless of whether or not we choose to accept the suffering. We have ultimately two decisions to make in life. When we come into contact with the crosses that our Lord Jesus Christ sends us, acceptance or rebellion? Rebellion is shown, says Bishop Herrera, by anger. There was a bad thief hanging on the cross. And he, along with the good thief, heard our Lord Jesus Christ say, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And both of them recognized, says Bishop Sheen, in these words, power. How could that man on the central cross grant forgiveness to those that were murdering him who was innocent unless he had the power of God in him? They immediately recognized his power. And so both of them together said, "Take us down from the cross. We hear in your words that you are a man of great power. We have seen you suffer. We've seen you beaten under the whip. We've seen you carry your cross. We've seen you be mocked. We've seen you endure the nails driven through your hands, and you did not cry out. That is only possible by a man with infinite power." And then you get up upon the cross and you say, "I forgive them, for they know not what they do." This is power. Take us down from the cross. All three of us can come down. You have the power to do it. And he did not do it. Bishop Sheen explains why, just like St. Ambrose does. St. Ambrose says, "You old people, your hairs are gray and they're falling out. Your back does not work anymore. You can no longer stand up straight. Your health is declining and you are close to death. Why do you want to be healthy? Why do you want God to cure you of your ailment of old age? Think of the reason. It is so you can go on sinning. You do not sin because you cannot, not because you do not want to. What's the real reason why we want to be taken down from the cross? To go on with a lazy life that is not pleasing to God. To go on pleasing ourselves. Or as Bishop Sheen says it, why did the bad thief want to be taken down from the cross? Not to become better, but to go on with the dirty business of thieving. It was not good for him to come down from the cross. And so Jesus Christ did not take him down. If he did, he would have found himself in a deeper place in hell. He would have regretted it even more than he already did for all eternity. Annette tells us, a woman who was in hell and went there in 1937, she said that the damned are even aware of the mercy of God and how merciful he was to take them when he did, rather than letting them to continue in sin longer and thus earn a greater suffering in hell. And so the mercy of God was shown to the bad thief. In his infinite mercy, he did not take him down from the cross. And then there is the good thief. St. Dismas begins to realize the foolishness of his question. He needs to repent of his sin. And he begins to speak to the other thief. And he says, "We suffer deservedly. We deserve the sufferings that we receive. Why do we not say this to each other? What is a common expression of all of us? Why do bad things happen to good people? Why on earth do bad things happen to good people? There are only two good people that were ever made. One of them was Jesus Christ, and the other one was his mother. And that's a very good question. Why do bad things happen to good people? Who did the bad things to those good people? I did. You did. Bad things happen to Jesus Christ and the Blessed Virgin Mary because we have chosen to offend God. Because we have chosen to reject the gift of the cross. We have chosen to live in sin, both mortal and venial, and we think it's fine. That's why bad things happen to good people. But they are only two. The rest of us are bad people. Or the church will call us sinners. What does it mean? Is a sinner something good? Sinners deserve the punishments that are given to us. We embrace them. And God in His infinite mercy has allowed us to grab on to a small suffering, like a headache or a traffic jam. And when we do not react with anger, but rather give it to God, He gives us a higher place in heaven. He actually takes all of the graces that He did, that He performed for us on the cross, and He applies them to us and makes us into saints for just offering up a little headache. Amen, amen, I say to you that he who gives a glass of water in my name shall not go without his reward. Every single little thing that we give to God, everyone will be rewarded by God, and infinitely more than it is worthy of being rewarded. And so in these last 2 weeks of Lent, let's try our best, we weak, sinful creatures, to take up our cross and follow Him. And not to react in rebellion, as we are most accustomed to do. Leave aside anger and replace it with charity. Embrace the cross for two reasons, says Bishop Sheen. We embrace suffering, the cross, firstly in expiation for my own sins, because I am a sinner and I need to make reparation for my sins. And since I'm not good, we know we're not good at imposing penances on ourselves because it's Lent now. Every one of us made resolutions and we all broke them. So we're not that good in imposing penances on ourselves. So God in His mercy has given to us a little extra penances on the side. A traffic jam. Troubles with others. So that we can embrace these sufferings that we have no choice but to embrace. And then these give us a higher place in heaven. In expiation for our own sins. And secondly, in reparation for the sins of others and for the sins of the whole world. And in this way, we bring peace and charity to our earth, which only come from Jesus Christ and His mother. He who dies upon the cross a few days from now, and she who stands at the foot of it and becomes our mother. So I'll close it at that. And God bless you all. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.